take your Bibles tonight. I want you to turn to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Of course, we continue to teach on the subject of finances. We call it spiritual financial guidelines. Job chapter 1. Would you please stand with me once you find it? Job chapter 1, and I want you to find verse number 17. And I'm going to read from verse 17 all the way through verse number 22. The Bible says this, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels, have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, 'Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And, behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' And Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Look again at verse number 21. It is where the lesson will be taught from tonight. It says, "And said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" The lesson tonight, I've entitled this, "You Can't Take It With You." You can't take it with you. And let's have a word of prayer. Father, bless us tonight. Holy Spirit of God, do something unique and special. Help the interruptions to be minimal. Help our attention to be maximized. Take the lesson tonight and just remind us and challenge us about the proper use of our money and the truth from the Scripture that we will learn tonight. Holy Spirit of God, do something special in our midst, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. I call the lesson tonight, "You Can't Take It With You." Most people have heard the story of Job, and they've heard it many, many times. Job seems to have been set up in the Old Testament as an example to all of us in regard to someone that suffered and went through a lot, and it affected him, it affected his family, it affected his businesses. But there's a wonderful thing in it all. It's pretty clear that Job kept a pretty good attitude as he went through the difficulties and the suffering that he faced. Job had lost family, and he had lost, when it talks about his camels and it talks about all of his servants, those would have been basically like employees. And he had multiple kinds of businesses that he had. I think he was a very successful man, and he lost a lot. Now, after he lost many, many, many things in modern day numbers, I'm sure millions of dollars were lost when Job faced his battles and the losses that he faced. But listen to what he said. Job said, and he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He kept a pretty good attitude. I think we all need to learn to be wise with our money. I think we need to learn and live Acts 20:35, where the Bible says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Remember, the lesson tonight is called, "You Can't Take It With You." Notice, Job knew that. Job knew that when you die, you're not taking any money with you. Listen to what he said. And the whole text for tonight's verse is that verse in Job 1:21. And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither." What was he saying? I came into this world physically with nothing. I'll leave this world physically with nothing. And Job knew that. So when you hear someone say, well, you can't take it with you, that concept or that truth is taught throughout the Bible, but in a special way, Job has worded it for us. Elvis Presley died August 17, 1977. He was 42 years of age when he died. They called him the King. They say he sold at least a billion albums in his lifetime. The Elvis brand earned $42 million in revenue per year. He owned 5 lavish mansions. He owned 4 personal airplanes. His car collection was amazing, and if you've ever seen pictures, just car after car after car, collector's items. Up until recent years, he was known as the financially highest earning dead person in America. In other words, he was dead, and he was making more money than most people that are alive. He died. He didn't take any of that with him. None. The business tycoon by the name of Howard Hughes. He inherited millions from his father. His father was an oil tycoon. His dad invented a drill bit that revolutionized the oil drilling industry. Howard Hughes was a movie producer. He was an aircraft investor. And then he was very deep into the mining business, and he made millions and millions of dollars. He built the Howard Hughes Medical Institute. When Howard Hughes died, he was worth $2.5 billion. In 1983, that $2.5 billion was split up between his 22 cousins. When Howard Hughes died, he didn't take one red cent with him. Michael Jackson, the singer, earned millions upon millions of dollars in his lifetime. With his wealth, he purchased 50% interest in the music publishing company that held the rights to the 251 Beatles songs, which those of you that know anything about that era of music history would have been worth just so much money. Some estimated its value at about $1 billion. Michael Jackson owned the Neverland Ranch, which was worth $33 million. He was the primary share owner of Sony, ATV Music Publishing Company and Catalog. In March of 2007, they said that Michael Jackson was worth $567 million. And just like everybody else, he died, and he did not take anything, not one penny of that $567 million. He did not take it with him to the grave. When Marilyn Monroe died, she was worth $7 million. But Marilyn Monroe did not take one penny to the grave with her. When Theodore Geisel died. Now that's the creator of Dr. Seuss. When he died, he was worth $31 or $13. The numbers are inverted in my mind right now. But he's worth a lot of money. But when he died, he didn't get to take any of it with him. Albert Einstein, of course, we would consider him a genius. He was worth $18 million when he died. But he didn't take any of it with him. Charles Schulz, the man who created Charlie Brown, if you don't know who Charlie Brown is, he's a famous missionary of the Old Testament. When Charles Schulz died, he was worth $35 million. But he didn't take a penny of it with him. The name John Lennon in rock and roll history, he would have made money with the superstars and millions of dollars. The day he died, they recorded that he was worth $44 million. Now, I would like to say to you, some of you, when you hear some of these names, these are people from years gone by, 10 and 20 and 30 and 40 years ago. I wish there were a way for me to calculate what $44 million is equivalent to today, but that's a massive amount of money. And John Lennon died. And he didn't take a penny of it with him. In Job 1:21, Job said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If I could, I'm going to make five or six real quick applications to this thought. We're not going to physically take money with us when we die. Let me start out by saying this. Number one, we all start this life with nothing. We all start this life with nothing. That's what Job was saying in Job 1:21 when he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb." Everybody starts out in life with nothing. I was present for the birth of all four of my children. Not one of them came forth in a tuxedo. Not one of them had on their arm a Rolex watch. Not one of them had their name engraved on a fancy cross pin that was in their fancy shirt pocket when they were born. No diamond necklaces, no fancy shoes, no expensive cell phones, nothing. Zero. And everybody starts life having nothing but life. That's where we all start. Number two, God then begins to give to us. God then begins to give to us. Job 1:21 said, "Naked came out of my mother's womb." Then it says, "The Lord gave." See, God is the creator of all things. I love the verse, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, where it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Young people, no matter what anybody would tell you, you did not evolve from a monkey. You are the creation of Almighty God. God created everything that's out there, and He is the owner of everything that's out there. And when you and I were born, we came into this life. Point one, we started with nothing. And then point two, God began to give to us. See, God's the true owner of everything. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein." This world belongs to God. He's the owner. He has the title. It's His. But then here's what happens. God begins to lend to you and I, who came into this world with nothing. God begins to lend His stuff to us. Psalm 37:26 says, "He is ever merciful and lendeth, and His seed is blessed." You see, everything that you have, you started with nothing, and everything that you have, God lended you His stuff. You say, "But I worked hard to get it." Well, whose air were you breathing when you worked hard? Whose earth were you standing on? Whose dirt are you made out of? You say, "I'm not made of dirt." Yes, you are. Just like the rest of us. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." In John 3:27 it says, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Job said it. Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb." We started with nothing. And then our God begins to lend to us His things. Psalm 62:10 says, "If riches increase, set not your heart upon them." Why? Because we come into this world with nothing, and you and I will leave this world with nothing. We live on a borrowed earth. We eat borrowed food. We drink borrowed water. We smell the beautiful smells. You know, all those smells belong to God. It's all God's. It's His possession. He created it. You say, "But He created it for me." Well, according to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, He created it for Himself. And then He loans you the privilege of taking part in His creation. So, number one, We all started this life with nothing. Number two, God then begins to give to us. Number three, God then teaches us to give back to Him. He teaches us then to give back to Him. You say, well, what am I to give? His stuff. Because everything you have is His stuff. He's just asking you to give Him back some of His stuff that He's loaned to you. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said it is more blessed to give than to receive. No, really, there should be no real problem with us giving to God. We started with nothing. God began to give to us and lend us from His belongings. He now just asks that we give back. 1 Corinthians 6:2, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now, something all of us as Christians need to understand, your prosperity, it comes from God. Now, I realize we work hard, and I realize that we apply ourselves, and I realize you go out there and you make things happen. But we have to keep our eyes on the fact that God has prospered you. And you know something? I don't want to get in a fuss with God about whether it was me or Him. I'm glad for Him to have all the credit. You say, why? I just want the prosperity. I want that prosperity. I'm glad to give God credit where credit is due. God is the one that prospered us. But notice it said on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Remember, it said in John 3:27, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Don't ever lose track of that. We are stewards. We're given things from God to take care of them in God's way. That's what we're supposed to do. We're to be responsible with what God has given us. It includes money. 1 Corinthians 16:2, it says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Now, that gathering would have to do with meeting the needs. When something is given back to God, it meets the needs. I think it meets the needs of ministry in the church and things of that nature. Now, I'll read to you one of the most famous, and probably it is the most popular verse about tithing in the Bible. And that's in Malachi 3:10. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Something that's very interesting to me about that. God said, you give to me, then I'm going to open the windows of heaven and bless you. I do want you to remember, He's the one that gave it to you in the first place. You started out with nothing. He gave you everything. He said, now you give me some of that back, and I'll open the windows of heaven, and I'll bless you. I'll give back to you. What a deal. He gives me everything. He asked me for a small portion back. He said, and then watch what I'll do. I'll give you back even more. Have you ever heard anyone say you can't outgive God? And you can't. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together. And running over shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. So there's verse after verse after verse in the Bible about our giving to God. But let me remind you, we started with nothing. God then begins to lend us of His things. Now we have something. God then said, now I want you to give some of that back. Number four, God then rewards us when we give Him back a portion of the 100% He gave to us. Again, I think, what a deal. He is going to reward me for giving Him back His stuff. Now, that's not how the human race thinks. If somebody gave you $100 and said, give me 10 back, and you gave them 10 back and they said, I'll give you 20 for giving me 10 back, you'd say, what? What odd thinking. That's exactly what God does for us. Think about it. God gave you what you have, and then you tithe on it. You give Him 10%. Then what do you get next week? A paycheck. Is it only 10%? No, no. It's 100% again. He says, that's my money. It was His in the first place. It was all His. So God rewards our giving. Now, it says here in Luke 6:38, I'll read the verse again, give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Now, this is talking about, it's an illustration of a farmer. A farmer has a bushel basket, and maybe he's put wheat into that basket. And so he put the wheat in and said it was a good measure. That means it was heaping up over the top. Then they pressed it down into the basket. And then they shook it real hard. And then they filled it up again until it was running over. In other words, God said, you give to me, I'll give back to you. When you give to me, I'll fill your basket, I'll shake it, I'll push it down, I'll pour more in, I'll shake it, I'll push it down, I'll fill it up, I'll make it so it is so packed full, it's running over, and you'll be overflowing with blessing. Now that's God's promise to you and I. He said, you give, and I'll give. You know, He does not have to reward us for giving back what He first gave to us. But see, it's some people think that, well, when you give, does God need my money? Oh, no. But you need to give it. It's far bigger that you give it than God receive it. Now, receiving it, when God receives it, it's a part of the process. But if He needed it, why would He turn right around and give it back to us multiplied by 10? But that's what He does. Now, listen to the reward again. Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the window of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Well, God is going to open the window of heaven. He's going to pour out the blessing. There shall not be room enough to receive it. And that's amazing to me. You say, well, I've never had God bless me like that. Let's see. Do you have more clothes than what you know what to do with? I mean, yeah, they don't fit in your drawers or your closet, so you had to have some boxes and some tubs, and you had to tuck it away. I wonder how many people's garage is full. You say, with what? Stuff. Right? You have cabinets and drawers at home that you can't open? Honestly, do you? Oh, you do? You don't have room for it all? You ever open a cupboard and the potato chip bag fall out because there's so many things crammed in there? You can't fasten your waistline. Why? You're so full. You've been blessed beyond measure. God's blessed us over and over and over again like that. So He's keeping His word. And in multiple ways. So, let me remind you of this process. We were born with nothing. Then God begins to give to us. He loans His stuff to us. Then to see if you love Him, He said, give me a little bit back. You say that? See, now, look, if you'll give me a little bit back, I'll bless you beyond measure. You won't even realize how much you have. So we do. And He does. Now, here's the key. Here's the key to this whole thing. We have to believe there's a heaven. I happen to believe the whole key to us not living our life in a stingy way, the whole key, probably the key to tithing and offerings and missions giving, we have to believe there's a heaven. Are we playing a religious game? Is heaven real? Is the Bible true? Is there a God? Matthew 6:1 says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." Now you see, if there is a heaven and there is a God and the Bible is true, we are doing the right thing. We are doing the right thing by tithing and giving and being a blessing to people and not being stingy. Malachi 3:10, if you remember that verse, let me read the whole verse to you. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith." He said, "Prove me now herewith." So God here is saying, put me to the test. Now, you will not put him to the test if you don't believe there's a heaven. I enjoy giving. Listen, don't talk. I enjoy giving because I have a certain faith and security that what I'm giving down here, I've got an account that's accruing up in heaven. I'll tell you, there are a lot of Christians that are virtual giving atheists. Not really convinced that God is preparing rewards, are you? We're talking about living with eternity in view. Let me read a couple of verses to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Are you an atheist in regard to your giving? Do you really believe the Bible? Do you really believe there's a God? You know, the souls of men are eternal. I happen to believe that investing in getting people saved, that's a way that I can send wonderful, wonderful things into heaven to meet me there. I think a church that trains soul winners is a church that has an eternal view. They've got eternity in view. Folks, look, we can't take it with us. So say, what could we do? We could be obedient to God with our money, with our increase, because we could send things ahead to heaven. When you die, you just can't take it with you. Think of those people that I read about earlier, all those rich people, and they died with millions and millions and billions of dollars in the bank. That's what they lived for, and then they died, and what happened to it? Well, they didn't take a penny of it with them. Not a penny. And here's the bad thing. Somebody that's worth $3.5 billion dies. If they're lost, they go to hell. Well, that money didn't do them any good. Wonder if they were saved and they went to heaven, but they never did right with their tithe or their offering on that 3.5. They didn't do themselves much good, did they? How sad. How sad. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. It says, Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21. It's going to take me a moment, but listen to this story. It's about someone that was making money, but they didn't have the right thinking about this money. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I got it. The story here is a farmer has a piece of ground and it's extremely productive, and he was rich. He had so much he didn't know what to do with it all. His answer is, he said, well, I'm going to tear down my current barns and I'm going to build bigger barns to store all my wealth. And I'll say to my soul, I have much laid up in savings. I'll take it easy. I'll eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, you fool, you're going to die. And then whose will all that extra money be? You know what God was saying to him? You can't take it with you. You can't. And the Bible says in verse 21, he was rich for himself, but not rich toward God. Folks, you can't take it with you. Now, I don't teach a lesson like this because I'm begging for you to give money to our church. Our church pays its bills on time. I don't have to beg. God's taking care of our church. I just need all of us to understand you can't take it with you. You just can't. So we should be thinking that there, in an eternal way, you know, we'll all pass someday, and then we're going to go to heaven, and the only thing we can do is send it ahead. Maybe you've heard the story. A wealthy man died. Some friends were at his funeral, and one friend said to another, why, there's his widow right down front. I wonder how much he left her. And the other guy said, oh, I know how much he left her. And the fellow said, well, how much? And he said, all of it. All of it. Because he didn't take a penny with him. You hear about the man had passed away and he was wealthy. Wealthy. And someone said to his wife, said, oh, I bet you're just hurting so bad. She said, I am. Said, but he did leave you a lot of money, didn't he? She said, yes, but I put it all in the coffin. And they said, you what? Said, yeah, I put every bit of it in his coffin. They said, what were you thinking? She said, well, it was a check. but look, when we die, we're not taking it with us. You know, Solomon was known for being the richest man on the earth in his day. But when he died, he didn't take a penny of that with him. Have you ever seen a U-Haul trailer hooked up to a hearse? Not happening. I know Dr. Russell Anderson, a multimillionaire businessman, he told me one day, he said, Brother Owens, God didn't give me my money to keep it. He gave it to me so I could make a difference in the lives of people. He said, I'd like to be rich in heaven. He said, the only way I know how to do that is to make sure I'm investing in the heavenly bank. He said, so I like investing in seeing people saved and changing lives for eternity. And he's given millions of dollars to Jesus. C.T. Studd, a famous missionary, started out as a successful cricketer. He was a batter in cricket. Like professional baseball, he would have been the Mickey Mantle of cricket in his day. His career yielded millions of dollars when he was playing cricket. He also inherited his family fortune. And he gave it to D.L. Moody, George Mueller, General Booth in the Salvation Army, and Priscilla Livingston, who was a living missionary after her husband passed away. And C.T. Studd went down in history, and a lot because of his sacrifice. Then he personally went to Africa. I think it was Africa. He went to Africa as a missionary. I have been at the bedside with many people when they passed. I'm talking about when they took their very last breath. And you've probably been there for a couple. I mean, I'm sure I've been there when 100 people have died in my presence. I've been with people when they were having their last conversations. I'm going to promise you something. I have never in my life had anyone say to me, I just wish I would have had more money. Not when they were dying, because it really didn't matter. What mattered was the people they loved and God. You can't take it with you. Now, I realize in a church like ours, we're just a bunch of plain, average, everyday folks. So you say, preacher, I am not worth $42 million a year like Elvis. And I know that. But it really doesn't matter how much. It is the concept of you can't take it with you. And I can tell you this also. I've had many a person set in a congregation of this sort who were just common everyday folk. But you know what? They began to learn the principles of God and business. And I've watched people that were worth nothing become worth millions by just doing what God wanted them to do. So it might be a good idea before you become worth millions that you get the right concept. Don't ever forget what Job said. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And there's only one way to beat that. Send it ahead. And that's what God would have us to do.